good to be together.
Yeah.
It kind of makes us warm, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, we are in lesson three of our study in Gods at War, and today we're going to be talking about the battlefield. But before we begin the lesson, I just thought that you might want to see little Allison here came into the world a week ago this past Wednesday and just stole Cindy's heart. Yeah, she took mine right along with her, too. Now, I just want you to be able to see this picture because this is when Noah met Allison. Okay, you can't really tell it from that picture, but this one shows exactly how he feels about her coming along and stealing the spotlight so quickly from him. But they are a lot of fun, and we are just tremendously blessed by having these two new grandchildren and being able to spend some time with them. So now, let's get on with our study here. What we've been talking about so far in our study on Gods at War is first of all, looking at and realizing the fact that there are gods who are at war for the throne of our heart. And
do is make sure that we dethrone those idols. Now, another part that we talk about is looking at the Ten Commandments and realizing that Jesus applied the Ten Commandments to us when he answered the question that was asked of him, of all of the commandments, what is the greatest command? And Jesus applied the first four of the Ten Commandments to us when he said, the greatest of all the commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so we see in those first four commandments are really all about our relationship with God. And so when Jesus answered that question that way, he said those commandments are still there in terms of our relationship with God. And then the remaining six still apply because he said the second greatest commandment is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so when we're talking about gods at war, one of the things that we have to realize is that we still have a problem of idol worship today. It is still alive. See? And it's a matter of being able to identify what those are. Idolatry is the issue. It's not an issue. It is the issue. And realizing the fact that anything in our lives can be made into an idol if we're not careful with it. Even those things, as we saw last time, that are just common everyday things where there's nothing really wrong with them, if we get too attached to them, they can become an idol. Today we're going to talk about the battlefield, okay? And in order for us to be able to be victorious in the war that is going on, that we are involved in, spiritual warfare, in particular the war for our heart, we need to understand the battlefield as military commanders do. They understand the importance of knowing a battlefield, you say, and knowing the battlefield and how important that is to being victorious. Napoleon Bonaparte was one of the greatest military minds that has ever lived in history. In fact, military leaders today in the military academies all over the world today still study his tactics in warfare because he was so successful in battle. Now, in the Battle of Waterloo, June 18, 1815, one of the greatest generals of all throughout all history was defeated by this man, okay? Arthur Wellesley, who was known as General Wellington. He was the first Duke of Wellington. And the thing that's amazing about him, and by the way, his military tactics are also studied in military academies today all over the world. He was able to defeat Napoleon Bonaparte in the Battle of Waterloo because of his tactic of studying the battlefield and knowing the battlefield and preparing in such a way that he made his enemies come to him on a battlefield of his choosing. So we see then the importance of knowing the battlefield through this whole idea of being victorious in battle. There are two principles of warfare that we have to understand as we find ourselves in the midst of this spiritual warfare. Two things that are vitally important that have to do with, in a sense, kind of setting up the battlefield, so to speak, okay? The first thing is that we have to know our enemy, okay? And what I mean by that is you need to be able to know what the strengths and weaknesses of your enemy is. See? Because the more you know about your enemy, what the strengths and weaknesses are, then the better you can prepare to defend yourself against that enemy. The second thing you need to do is know yourself. And what that means is the very same thing. You need to know what your strengths and weaknesses are. You see, when you're preparing for battle, the more you know about what your enemy's strengths and weaknesses are, the more you can set your strengths and weaknesses up against your enemy, thus being successful. Now, Jesus talked about this very same concept, you see, when he's talking about counting the cost of being a follower of his. In Luke chapter 14, verses 31 and 32, he says, "Suppose that a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to go against or oppose the one who is coming against him with 20,000? So you see, it really is a matter of knowing your enemy and knowing yourself. Am I able to take this foe on? Or do I need to do something a little bit different? So we need to understand this idea of the battlefield, and that's what we're really focusing on today. We need to understand, for our purpose and our study, for our salvation, the heart is the battlefield and the prize. It really is all about the heart. You see, God and Satan are both at war for the prize. See? Each one wants to sit on the throne of our hearts. See? So that is the battlefield. But it's also the prize to be won. Okay? Let's talk about search history for a minute. All right? On the internet, if you want to find something on the internet, there are these things called search engines. Okay? Google, Yahoo, Bing. And these are the things that you go to in order to search for whatever it is you want to find on the internet. And you can find, by the way, just about anything that you want to know, you can find it on the internet, can't you? And the way that you do that is by going to one of these search engines. You see, type in whatever it is you're looking for, and you find the information that you want to find. Okay? Now, companies out there are tracking our searches. You see, they're looking at where you go, what you search for, in order to find out what are people looking for, what are they interested in their lives. And what they do is they take that information and they use that information for marketing purposes. Okay? So they want to know where are you searching, what are you looking for in your life. So I thought it'd be kind of fun for just a moment to take a look at what are the most searched topics on the Bing search engine in 2013, last year. What are the things that were searched for the most? Okay? See how many of these you can guess, or how many of them you know. The most searched person on the Bing search engine in 2013 was Beyonce. Okay? The most searched sports star was Tim Tebow. Okay? The most searched sports team? Anybody want to take a guess? Dallas Cowboys. Hey, I got it off the internet, okay? Okay? All right, so it must be true. That's right. Okay. All right, the most searched social media site? Facebook, okay? The most searched apps, okay, is a game called Candy Crush, okay? All right, the most searched TV show? Big Bang Theory. The most searched movie, Iron Man 3. The most searched food, I thought this one was kind of interesting. It wouldn't have been what I would have thought, but it's Pizza Hut. Yeah, who would have thunk, okay? All right, the most searched destination in all of the world, Hawaii. And the number one most searched news story in 2013 on Bing, was the royal baby bird. Now, interestingly enough, another thing that I found out, the most searched topic in 2013 on the Google search engine was how to get rid of the Bing toolbar. Okay? Yeah. So you see, we have these search engines, and we go out there and we look for whatever it is we're trying to find information on, so that we can do whatever it is that we want to do. But here's the thing that I want you to think about. Our searches really reveal a lot about us. In fact, you know, in some ways, we could say that we're kind of defined by our searches. What it is that we're looking for, what it is that we're chasing after in our lives reveals what's going on in the battle for our heart. Think about it that way. See? What are you looking for? What are you chasing after? What are you searching for in life? Okay? So our searches, what we search for, really does tell a lot about us. The writer of Ecclesiastes in 2 and verse 10 says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. So you see, what I'm trying to do is to get you to be thinking about how important it is what we chase after and what we are searching for in our life, because it really does say a lot about us. Okay? What are we pursuing in life? Now, on the internet, if you're doing searches and all of those things, you can actually put blocks or filters on your computer and so on, so that if there are certain places that you don't want, for instance, your children to go or what have you, then you can put these blocks or filters on there so that those kinds of sites can't be accessed. So in a sense, it's kind of like putting, you know, this guard, so to speak, on your computer. Okay? And what we need to do is think in that kind of a way about this battle that's going on so that we protect our heart. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Okay, the wellspring of life. What does that really mean? The wellspring of life. Well, another translation puts it this way. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's the idea of a wellspring, is that that's the source, you see, of everything that our life is all about. There is a source there, and the Bible tells us that that source is the heart, because everything we do, the way that we live, flows from that source. That is why it's the wellspring, see, of our life. So we need to, as the wise man says, put a block, put a filter, put a guard, so to speak, on our heart. Because everything we do flows from our heart. You see, the heart really is the real battlefield. Okay? We talk about a lot of different times about the mind and the battle for the mind, and I think that that's exactly true. It is a battle for the mind, but the mind, I believe, is the way that access is gained to the heart. See? And so we really need to make sure we understand the nature of the battlefield itself. Now think with me for just a minute about the idea. Here you are walking through the woods. Okay, I want you to take a walk with me. We're going to go through the woods, and we come up on a nice little stream, nice little creek. And it's nice and cool, walking through the shade, walking through the water. It's really pretty, nice and cool. And all of a sudden, you come upon something like this. All this trash and pollution is there in the water. And, you know, where did all this stuff come from? So you decide, you know, you're going to be really nice and help save the ecology and so forth. So you decide to clean up all this trash. So you pick up all the trash, put it in a bag, you carry it all away. You got the place all nice and clean. You come back the next day, walking along the same path, and you get there in the same place, and there's this trash all over you. You think to yourself, well, wait a minute. what's going on here? Certainly somebody couldn't have come overnight since I was here yesterday and cleaned this all up and dumped a whole lot more trash here. But you go ahead and you clean it all up again and you go on your way. And you come back the next day and you find the same thing. Something is wrong here, isn't it? I mean, obviously all this trash can't just come here overnight. And people aren't just coming out here overnight and dumping all of this trash. So you decide to walk upstream a little bit. And as you go upstream, this is what you find. That there's actually a dump that's there right along the edge of the stream, and that's where all the trash is coming from. You see, it's not a matter that somebody's going out there overnight and throwing a bunch of stuff in the creek. It's that there's a source that is upstream that is a dump that trash just keeps falling into the creek and flowing in there, and it's flowing downstream. And that's why as many times as you go to that spot and you keep cleaning it up, you'll come back the next day and there'll be more and more trash because it's coming from the source and flowing downstream. The wise man says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. Okay? We're talking about what the source is. So in other words, another way to say that is what I'm full of is what comes out. Okay? Whatever is inside is what's going to come out. Jesus says it this way, Matthew chapter 15, 17 through 19. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These, he says, are what makes a man unclean. See, it's the source. It's the heart. That's where everything flows from. That's the wellspring where everything flows from. And so if what is in there is dirty, if it's garbage, then that's what's going to come out. Because it all flows from the source. It's not just the little things that we do along the creek, you know, from time to time in our lives. It's going back to the source and realizing where this stuff is coming from. You see, what we try to do, I think, so often in our lives is we try to tackle sin at the creek level. Okay? We just go there trying to clean up the creek, you see, and never really realizing that what we've got to do is go back to the source. Go upstream, you say, to the source, which really is the heart of the matter. What is really there? If the heart is dirty and foul, then what the life is going to show is going to be the garbage that's in the heart. So we really do need to go upstream. And find the source of what's going on in our lives. This is where the real battlefield is. It's all about the heart. Okay? That's where the war is either won or lost, depending on who's sitting on the front. Okay? Think about this thought that's in that box on there. And think about that statement coming from both God and from Satan. Okay? I fought for your attention. Now that I've won that battle, I'm fighting for your heart. You see, Satan can make that statement in our lives, can't he? That he has fought for our attention, and he certainly puts a lot of things out here in the world to get our attention, doesn't he? And once he gets our attention, then the next battle is the battle for our heart. And that's what he fights for. But I want you to know that God says the same thing. You say, God wants our attention. He's fought for our attention, you say. And once he gets our attention, you see, then the next battle that he's fighting is to sit on the throne of our heart. The question and the issue, I think, goes back to who's got your attention? Okay? Who's got your attention more? God or Satan? You have to go back to the source. what's flowing from the source. That is from the heart. So, what does the dye reveal? Okay. There is what's called an arteriogram, and that's basically a dye test, okay? And what happens is that, you know, doctors put this dye into your arteries, and then they x-ray you to find out and be able to see from the dye where there might be any blockages in your arteries or what happens, see? And so I thought that this morning what would be really interesting to do, as we're talking about the significance of the heart being the battlefield, is that let's have a spiritual arteriogram. Okay, now we don't have any dye, okay? We're not going to pump dye into you. But what I do have is six questions that I want you to think about that really I think will help to determine what the condition of your heart is and help perhaps to reveal where there might be any sin blockages that you need to get cleared up. Okay? So let's for the next few minutes take a spiritual arteriogram here, all right? Question number one, what disappoints you? Okay? The reality is that from time to time in our lives, we all face disappointment, don't we? You see? There are things that disappoint us in life, and that's going to happen. But the problem is we don't want to stay disappointed. Kyle Idleman says this, when we feel overwhelmed by disappointment, it's a good sign that something has become more important than it should be. So it's not the fact that we face disappointment, it's the fact that we find ourselves being overwhelmed by disappointment in something or about something, you see? And so we can be welcome to disappointment, but just don't stay there too long. So think about what disappoints you. And how do you handle that disappointment? Question number two, what do you complain about the most? Okay? What we complain about reveals what really matters to us. Okay? Whining shows what has power over us. What do you complain about? Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says, do everything without complaining or arguing. So we need to take a good hard look from time to time at, you know, what is it that we find ourselves complaining about and whining about in our lives? There could be something there that is a sin problem that we're whining and complaining over. See? The next question, where do you make financial sacrifices in your life? Okay? Where does your money go, so to speak? Where your money goes shows what God is winning your heart. Where does your money go? Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So you see, it does always come back to the heart, doesn't it? See, even in those financial decisions that we make and the things that we focus on, what does that reveal about the condition of next question, what worries you? Okay, what worries you? What keeps you up at night, in other words, another way to look at it? What causes those sleepless nights? Whatever that is, has the potential at least to be an idol. See, when we get ourselves bogged down and overwhelmed again in worry. Again, the Apostle Paul talks about the idea, he says to us, don't worry about anything. Let's pray about everything. So it's really good for us from time to time to take a good look at what do we worry about? Next question, what is your sanctuary? Okay, in other words, the higher ground. Okay? Where do you go when your life is in turmoil? Where's the higher ground that you seek for safety? Okay? That could reveal your values. See, who or what do you run to in order to find that security or that safety when you're finding yourself in trouble or overwhelmed or whatever? Where's your higher power? Okay? What are your dreams? What are your dreams and your goals and your ambitions? Your dreams reveal what motivates you. And so do the things that you dream about, the things that you want to achieve and accomplish and acquire in life and so forth, is that for God's glory or is it for your glory? Okay? You need to be dreaming God's dreams. What is God's goals and dreams and aspirations and plans for us? Okay? Spiritual arteriogram can help reveal any heart blockages we may have so that we can have a clean and pure heart. Okay? The psalmist says, create in me a clean heart or a pure heart. Renew your steadfast spirit. I know this song simply. Create a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all thy ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings, for we are your righteousness. If we die to ourselves and live to your death, we shall be born again to be blessed in your love. Create in me a clean heart. Because you see, the battlefield really is the heart. So the question I want you to think about while we're singing our invitation song is, what is the condition of your heart? Because that's the source of everything that goes on in your life. So you go back to the source, go upstream to the source, and check the heart. It'll tell you what's going on the battlefield. We're going to stand and sing a song in just a moment, an invitation song. And that invitation is extended and open to everyone. That maybe there's somebody here, maybe these things are causing you to think about, hopefully they are, to think about the condition of your heart. And maybe you've seen some things there that you don't like, things that you realize need to be fixed. Well, we want to help you to do that. So the invitation is extended to you. If you need some prayers or guidance, encouragement, teaching, whatever it is to help you to get rid of the blockages that are there in your heart. Maybe somebody here this morning who's not a Christian yet, you haven't given your life to God, you realize that you're lost in your sins. The only way to be saved is for you to die for yourself and give your life to God. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon yourself. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone who would like to have a private conversation or prayer with him back there. And I'll be up front here to receive anyone who would like to come up here. Let's stand together.